Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle Paul, writing in his epistle to the Colossians, used a very interesting phrase related to the Holy Word, the Bible. He told them that God had imparted to him the task of completing the Word of God. Actually, we know from history that there were other books added to the canon of Scripture that were written after Paul's 14 epistles. So we need to understand Paul's word in the sense that his writings were a conclusion not to the written record, but to God's divine revelation. The books that came later, like Revelation and John's epistles, merely strengthened and confirmed that divine revelation. All this is to say that the divine revelation has a progressive aspect to it. Surely Genesis chapter 1 does not convey the entirety of God's full revelation to man. So bit by bit, through the centuries, God revealed more and more of his divine plan until finally, in the first century, Paul and the other apostles completed his marvelous speaking to man. And though today the written record is fully complete, never to be added to or deleted from, our understanding and apprehension continues to progress as more and more of God's light breaks forth from his word, to quote a popular and famous hymn. Bill Lawson is with us today, and Bill, I apologize for the long introduction, but I just had some feeling that as we touch this matter of a progressive revelation, we need to spend a little time here to convey the right thought. We don't want to convey something that could be misunderstood by our listeners.
Right, that's really so, Chris. It's not easy for us to realize that the divine revelation is progressive. It's hard to understand that. If we look at the book of Genesis, there is some divine revelation. Of course, there's in the beginning records of creation and so on. Then as we go through the centuries, we have the Psalms that we're touching, these 150 Psalms. They do convey also some divine revelation, mainly in types concerning Christ and so on. But merely if we just remain in the Psalms and the other 39 books of the Old Testament canon, we don't have a complete, thorough revelation. That's what we have to come to the New Testament, the 4 Gospels, the book of Acts, and then all of these epistles, and especially the epistles of Paul. You can see a progressive revelation where Paul in his epistles quoted many of the Old Testament verses and books. He quoted the Psalms and so on, mainly in respect to Christ and the body of Christ. So in books like what we call the heart of the divine revelation, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, he talks about things like the mystery of God, which we know is Christ, and he talks about the mystery of Christ, which we know is the church, the body of Christ. Just in these two aspects, the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ, he unveils a much larger and deeper view of the divine revelation. As you mentioned, his burden was to complete the Word of God in the divine revelation.
Yeah, we're going to join Witness Lee here in a moment. He'll speak along this same line in our first segment today. But since you brought it up, I thought in a good way, Bill, let's just underscore then, as we're looking back now in this life study of the Psalms, for example, and we will, before we're through today, Lord willing, touch about 4 of these Psalms, 73 through 76, what we're really focusing on is seeing this Christ, the mystery of God, and the church or the body, the mystery of Christ, revealed in these Old Testament writings. Of course, we have to understand, it's, as you said, by type, sometimes by prophecy, because Christ in the Old Testament was hidden, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was there in typology. So we have a lot of things we have here, the matter, the desolation, as we'll get into it, the desolation of God's house, the sanctuary, the temple of God, which we know the temple is a type of the church, the body of Christ. And we have Christ hidden there in the Psalms and typified. And when we come to the New Testament, again, especially with Paul's epistles, we see the revelation of Christ, who is a fulfillment of all of those prophecies in the Old Testament.
I think this really helps to focus us and convey what our burden, what our purpose is in the life study, more than studying the Psalms historically or grammatically or, as it most frequently is studied. We're really focusing like a laser on these aspects, to see Christ revealed, to see God's purpose revealed, not just to dwell on the sentiments that are sometimes or very frequently expressed through the writers of the Psalms directly.
Right.
Good. All right. Now, I mentioned a couple of verses, or at least one in the New Testament in the opening. I'd like to read that. That's Colossians 1:25. Of which I became a minister, writes the Apostle Paul, according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to complete the word of God. And Bill, I've added another verse here from the Gospel of John, because I think it also maybe indirectly, very clearly indicates that there is a progressive aspect or nature to the divine revelation. Again, this is the Gospel of John now, chapter 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you. Now, this is the Lord Jesus speaking directly. But you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of reality, comes, He will guide you into all the reality. For He will not speak from Himself, but what He hears He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are coming. All right, here's Witness Lee with our first portion.
The divine revelation in the Bible is all the time progressive. You open up the Bible to read the first chapter of Genesis, you just see a kind of a history of God's creation. Not much divine revelation, because that is not a chapter on any kind of doctrine. You shouldn't consider every bit of the sentiment of the psalmist is the divine revelation. That is, the psalmist, on the one hand, they received some divine revelation, and that caused them to have a lot of sentiment. At that juncture, they had the sentiment of hating the enemies. They had the sentiment of doing good, to keep the law, because David was 500 years after Moses. But, praise the Lord,
amen,
we hold not only 39 Old Testament books, neither only 27 New Testament books, but we hold 66, both Old Testament and New Testament. The Apostle Paul told us he got a charge from God. He got a commission. He got a ministry to complete the word. This means before Paul wrote his 14 epistles, the word of God in the Bible was not completed. Needless to say, at David's time, the word of God was not completed. Even at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, the Word of God was not completed. When we come to the Bible, you must learn the principles of the Bible. The divine revelation in the Bible is progressive. This is a basic principle. If you would ask me, what these four Psalms say? I would say, this is the past expression of the saint's complex sentiment. All kinds of expressions. Some are divine, some are human. Praise the Lord, today we are not 2,000 years ago. We are standing even on the shoulders of Paul.
Amen.
We can understand the Old Testament to the uttermost.
Amen.
Because we have Paul as our letter sentinel.
Bill, we had a chance to cover this point quite a bit before we heard Witness Lee. Let's come back for just a minute, though, because I want to make one point very clear. There's a wrong sense in which you can pick up this phrase, progressive revelation. And there are religious groups out there, one very well-known kind of sort of Christian group that claims progressive revelation and then uses that as justification for adding not just a chapter or two, but another book to the Bible. We're not talking about progressive revelation in that context or sense, are we?
No, Chris, not at all. We are here talking about the divine revelation, the progressive revelation. As you mentioned, when Paul mentioned about completing the Word of God, after Paul passed away, you have John and his revelation and his epistles. You have the book of John, the epistles of John, and the book of Revelation. That is a further development of what Paul saw of the mystery of God Christ and the mystery of Christ the church. So when John in Revelation talks about the New Jerusalem, he talks about all these kind of things, that is more a confirmation of what Paul completed in his epistles at his time.
Let's just to mention again, because I like this verse very much, this verse in John 16, or actually there's about three verses you can read there together, but the Lord said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality. In a sense here, he's almost prophesying, isn't he, that there's going to be more of the divine revelation to come. It's not going to come through my, physical lips directly as it is right now, but nonetheless, it's the Word of God and it's the revelation yet to be completed, isn't it?
That's right. This verse is very difficult to understand, John 16:12. The Lord could only say that much to those disciples, especially in John 14:15-16, the house of the Father, the vine of the Son, and the newborn child of the Spirit in John chapter 16. However, the Lord had not fully finished his process yet to be crucified, resurrected, then become the life-giving Spirit, and then as the Spirit, or the Spirit of reality, when he regenerated those disciples, right, in his resurrection, then the Spirit of reality could reveal more and more of the divine revelation to them, not just to those, but to those also who followed him very shortly after that, like the Apostle Paul and so on. So the Spirit of reality, no doubt, entered into Paul, and Paul began to see many, many things that the Lord said before he died, that I have yet many things to say to you.
Right.
These many things are those 14 epistles, Chris, of Paul.
Right, and then confirmed and developed, as you said, by John and the other apostles that were writing. Marvelous, and I'm glad we had a good chance, Bill, to really give a clear kind of summary of this matter of the progressive revelation, because as we just heard him say, now we're standing on the shoulders, mm-hmm. looking back at such a book as Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can see from our vantage point today, by virtue of Paul and John and the others,
right.
is a completely different view than we get if we just try to read Psalms in its own context.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a key point.
Right.
All right, now let's look at a couple of these Psalms in this group of Psalms 73 through 76. We're going to come to 74 actually first. And you mentioned, Bill, this passage very much deals with the desolation of God's house. Let's just look at a couple of verses here in Psalm 74. Verse 2 says, remember your assembly, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed as the tribe of your inheritance, and Mount Zion, where you dwell. Lift up your steps unto the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Verse 7, they have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. This is the desolation of God's house, and mm-hmm. it's clearly depicted in this psalm. All right, here's Witness Lee once more.
How could God's house be desolated? Desolated to an extent that temple was burned, the city was turned down, the palaces in that city were all burned. God's house was desolated to such extent. Why? If you read the Old Testament, surely you will find out. You would say, because the children of Israel were too evil. They were too sinful. Apparently so. Actually, the intrinsic reason of God's house's desolation was that Christ was not exalted. Christ didn't get his preeminence among God's people. The children of Israel didn't give the first place to God's anointed Christ in everything. Why they were sinful? Why they were so evil? Because they neglected Christ. They didn't honor Christ, didn't exalt Christ. today with us in the church life is the same thing. If we don't love Christ with our first love, giving him the first place in everything, that he may have the preeminence among us, if so, you be prepared. The church will be desolate. The desolation of a church, of the house of God, always issues from the negligence to Christ. The proper revival in the church is that every member in the church life gives Christ the first place in everything. In your comb of your hair, in a pair of shoes, in Saturday shopping, in everything, you give preeminence to Christ, then your church will be a revived church. The solution to the desolation of God's house is just Christ's exaltation.
Bill, this is really a key point, isn't it, for our own going on. If you look at the landscape, the religious Christian landscape today, you see a lot of desolation in God's house, don't you?
We see a lot of it, Chris, as you're saying. And most of the time, I think we blame others, or we blame God, or we blame someone else
or
for
the devil,
that.
Yeah.
For why I have so many afflictions, so many problems, I'm suffering so much. And we think this, we're that, or we give this reason or that reason. But here, as Brother Lee is speaking, it's another perspective of why certain things, you know, happen to us, or why we're going through certain things, or it's because most of the time we don't give Christ preeminence. We live our own life. We're for ourselves. We don't care for God's interests that much. We don't pursue the Lord that much. We're not one with the Lord. So what happens is, in a sense, in our own life, our life is like a desolation.
Yeah.
So just like the temple there in at the time of the Jews and in Nebuchadnezzar's destruction, that temple is also a type of us, because we have a sanctuary, and that's our human spirit.
Right.
And when we don't exercise and use our human spirit to exalt Christ in our spirit, then in a sense, personally, we're almost desolate. And of course, in the same thing, many times in our corporate church involvement, there are problems in the church where we are, and we don't realize it's because of this, or it's because of that. It's because the members there, that congregation, they are not giving Christ preeminence in their life, corporately. So individually, we have to give him preeminence, and corporately, right, we have to exalt him, praise him, give him first place in our life, whether it's personal life, family life, church life, with our children, with our job, with our marriage. We have to give Christ first place, and then we just have the sense like the desolation is over.
Wow. Boy, you know, Bill, you see these signs oftentimes on the marquees in front of the denomination buildings, you know, revival service and this and that. And I mean, inwardly, I think we all have this kind of longing. We like our church to be in a condition of revival. We may not use that language. That may, you know, we save that for our Pentecostal brothers. But inwardly, we all have this kind of longing. And so we try this program and that technique and this and that. But the solution to this desolation really is one thing, which we're going to see in this third section and final section today. This is really the solution and what will bring in ultimately revival for all of God's people. And we see it in Psalm 73 alluded to. Some really good verses in this psalm, but I think now we have a good context from which to look at them. Verse 1 says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." And then I think the more well-known passage out of this Psalm 73, beginning at verse 25, "Whom do I have in heaven but you? And beside you there is nothing I desire on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever." Here's Witness Lee with our last segment.
Now, Psalm 73, God being good to those who are pure in heart. If you are always pure in your heart, with one goal, with one aim, so pure, so single, just after God, toward God, for God, you're right. And in this psalm, the psalmist was no doubt this person. He was a person who is pure in heart. This psalmist, he said, "Who do I have in heaven but you? Amen. And there's none that I desire on the earth beside you." Amen. This means he now knows God doesn't want him to have anything else but God himself. Just to have God himself. "Whom do I have in the heavens but you? And beside you, there's none that I desire on the earth." In the heavens, I want to have you. On the earth, I want to have you. You care for how much I have gained you. Then verse 26, "My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever."
Amen.
Nothing else. This is Psalm 73. The total of these four psalms is the desolation of God's house. And Christ is the solution. We sins are destined to suffer. The house of God also is appointed to be desolate if the children of God would not give the preeminence to Christ. Then certainly Christ will come in to judge this situation. And lastly, God will have the victory over all the things.
Bill, good way to end the program. We've all experienced a measure of desolation, as you pointed out, because in all of our lives we have to be faithful to confess that we do not always give Christ the preeminence. But there is a solution, isn't there, always to this situation?
That's true, Chris. This verse is probably one of the most convicting verses in the entire divine revelation. If we give Christ preeminence, then everything seems to work out according to God's plan. If we hold back anything for ourselves, it seems like those things just plague us and bother us all the time. I was just considering it in Brother Watchman Nee's own personal life, Chris, years ago back in the 1920s. He was getting ready to deliver a Bible message, and he came across this very psalm, Psalm 73:25.
Yeah.
And the more he got into it, he realized the psalmist can say that, but I cannot say that, because at that time he was very much in love with Charity Chang.
Uh-huh.
And in those weeks, it was an incredible struggle within him. He just struggled back and forth. "I love this girl on earth. Lord, I may have you. You're the only one in the heavens, but there's one on this earth that I love more than you, and that's this sister." I mean, that's this girl, because she was an unbeliever at that time. Then eventually he struggled, and eventually he came to this point. He said, "On February the 13th in 1922, on that day when I laid aside my beloved, my heart was emptied of everything that previously occupied me." And once and for all, he gave up that girl. And the Lord became first in everything from that point, and his ministry after that point became very prevailing. What's interesting that about 12 years later, the Lord gave the girl back to him, and he married her in 1934. And, of course, Brother Lee was the best man for Brother Nee in that wedding. But that just shows that even Brother Nee himself had a wonderful turn in his life, personal life, when he got through on Psalm 73:25.
Of course, by that time, she had come to Christ herself, and so he
right.
married her not just as the one he loved on earth, but as a sister in the Lord. And
right.
the whole relationship had come through really the divine process and the process of death and resurrection, hadn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As you said, that was a kind of a launching pad, really, for the more advanced stage of his ministry and his work. And I remember that story also, Bill, very touching. And these words, "Whom have I beside you?"
Right.
Well, may we all have the grace, Bill, to give the Lord the first preeminent place in everything. And if we do, our desolation will be brought to an end, and we will all be brought into a condition of being revived.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have you with us, as always, Bill.
Very good to be here, Chris.
We hope you'll contact us to get the printed life study messages. You can find out how you can receive them if you'll call us. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. We'll return, continue in this life study, and now the book of Psalms. We're well on our way, about two-thirds of the way through, and we'll hope you'll be with us for all of these continuing programs. That's all the time we have today. For Bill Lawson, I'm Chris Watt. Thank you very much for listening.
Millions of Christians have been strengthened in their faith through the ministry of Watchman Nee. In a recent release by Living Stream Ministry entitled The Overcoming Life, Watchman Nee sounds a call to the believers to pursue the normal Christian life that is hidden with God in Christ. The Overcoming Life is filled with truth, reverberates with hope, and brings the reader to renewed consecration. The Overcoming Life by Watchman Nee from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.